You're listening to episode 7 of Cultivating the Lovely, the podcast. Welcome to Cultivating the Lovely, the podcast. This is the podcast all about pouring the labor, care, and study into the roles that God has given us as wives, moms, women, and His children. It is meant to inspire us to be living with passion, intention, beauty, and delight in the everyday moments right where we're at. I'm your hostess, Mackenzie Monroe from BoldTurquoise.com and CultivatingTheLovely.com, along with the Cultivating the Lovely Morning Show on Periscope. Today, we're switching things up a bit with the show, and instead of having someone on to interview, I'm actually going to be addressing some of the many listener questions that I have been receiving lately. I hope that you will find this episode lots of fun. It's been really interesting hearing what you guys want to hear from me and about me, and this show is mostly going to center on Christmas and New Year's traditions. And just for future reference, and since we've been getting such a great response with all these questions from all of you wonderful listeners, we've decided that heading into the new year, we're probably going to do this question-answer style format in some way, shape, or form, probably about once a month. So if you have anything that you would like to hear addressed on the show, or even if you have guest ideas, we would love to hear them. You can email us at community@cultivatingthelovely.com, or you can also post them on our Facebook group, which you can find really easily by just going to facebook.com/groups/cultivatingthelovely. We also have that link up on cultivatingthelovely.com, so you can find it really easily. We also always have show notes, so if you'd like to quickly snag any of the links that I am mentioning here today, all you have to do is go to boldturquoise.com/7, and you will be able to find everything that you're looking for. So let's jump right into today's show and start tackling some of these questions. A lot of them that I got from you guys centered around what our Christmas traditions are, what they look like for us, how we make the season meaningful, how we don't get caught up in the commercialization and the craziness and the busyness. And to be honest, I'm not always perfect at it. I have said a million times that I am in the trenches with you guys. And so please know that whatever I say here today is just one mom talking to another. I am just giving you the few little things that I've learned that are maybe making things a little bit more lovely or a little bit easier for us, but I certainly don't have it down. But I have a little bit of experience being a mom, so I'll give you a few of the ideas that we've come up with and kind of how we have honed down our traditions to not feel too overwhelming, which I know in our Pinterest culture, it can feel like you really need to live up to these crazy standards and make your home look like it's out of Better Homes and Gardens. And it's just not realistic for most of us anyway, not in my house. And so I listened to actually another podcast that I'm going to give a little shout out to here, and that is Sorta Awesome with Megan Teets. And I believe it was episode 38. We will have it up in the show notes today. But they were talking about Christmas traditions and how they make them less overwhelming for their families. And I loved what they had to say because they kind of brought it down to the heart of the matter. And they said, ask your kids, just ask your kids what they want to do. And I thought, that's brilliant. Why haven't I asked them what really matters? And so at the very beginning of this Christmas season, I sat all my kids down. And I said, if you had to pick just a few things, what are, when you think of Christmas, what are the top things that come to your mind? And they had very specific ideas of things that they wanted to do during this Christmas season, and it was so clarifying for me to be able to see what really mattered to them. They really wanted to decorate cookies and gingerbread houses. They wanted to watch Christmas movies as a family with hot cocoa. Those were the kinds of memories that they were wanting to make and those things that they anticipated for every year. And when I heard it through their little mouths, it felt manageable. I can do that. I can look up ABC Family's 25 Days of Christmas and find the Christmas movies that we want to watch. I can find, you know, great hot cocoa or just make it on the stove. In fact, I will put a delicious recipe that I have. Actually, it's a Jada De Laurentiis recipe off of the Today Show from years ago. I will put that in the show notes today because it is fabulous and it is dark chocolate based, so it's extra yummy. But those were all things that I felt like, okay, I don't have to make it picture perfect. And it is sort of humbling this year because I am hosting both Christmas Eve and Christmas Day with both sides of the family that, especially my husband's side of the family, has lots of tradition, which I love, and it can feel a little overwhelming to take that on. And so really simplifying things this year and just saying, okay, we're just going to focus on the things that really, really matter has helped me a ton. Now, I will say that when I was sharing this with a friend of mine not long ago and saying, we're just doing what, you know, the kids want to do, she said, well, but I have things that I like to do and that matter to me, and it wouldn't feel like Christmas if I weren't doing those specific things, even though my kids may not care about them. And, you know, I thought that was a really good point, that it's not just all about the kids. We need to be asking our husbands, too, what feels like Christmas to them and what feels like Christmas to us. If you get a ton of pleasure out of decorating your tree and making it look like it's out of Better Homes and Gardens, and that isn't something that's stressful to you, that's something that brings you joy and makes you feel like you're really in that Christmas spirit, then do it. Have that on your list. Just cut out the things that are not giving life to anybody and that they turn out to just be a huge stressor. I have quite a few friends who used to get live trees, and this is the first year that they are not getting a live tree. And they all said, pretty much hands down out of this group of friends, that every year they would go out and try to cut down the tree. They had these picture perfect ideas in their head of what it was going to look like and be like. And every year, without doubt, it ended up looking like National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. And the tree wouldn't fit in the house right. And the husband would get all upset and frustrated. And everybody was cold. And it was just overwhelming. And so they decided to get rid of their real trees and just use a fake one. Now, I know to some that is absolute Christmas blasphemy, but for these families, it helped simplify Christmas in a way that they didn't need to have that extra stress and they could be okay with it. And it's okay to change things to make your family's traditions work for you if they aren't working for you. I wrote a post all about Christmas traditions, with even more about how I grew up with my traditions and how I feel like our God is a God who values tradition and doing things over and over again in order to elicit memories of what he wants us to be remembering. And you can find that at CourtneyStanford.com. It was actually a guest post I did this last week. Her blog is called Let Every Heart, and she's been having a fabulous Advent season full of all sorts of guest posts about traditions and Advent, and I think you will find a lot of her posts really wonderful. So you can head over to CourtneyStanford.com to find that post and hear a little bit more about where I stand on traditions. But I hope that you will find it freeing and just soul nourishing for you during this Christmas season. So another one of those questions that I mentioned earlier was, how do we keep Christ in Christmas? This is something that I think can always be a struggle for people and for us. And I really feel like, along with all of our simplifying of traditions and coming down to what really mattered this year, we've also done a lot to cut down on the number of gifts that we are buying for our kids this year. I think in the past, especially when our kids were younger, my husband and I would head into Toys R Us and we would look around and think, we want them to feel like they're getting a lot for Christmas and that's what's going to make it special. And we've realized all the traditions and other things around the day and the relationships are really what makes it special. And when we look back on our childhoods, we don't necessarily remember every single toy that was under the tree. We remember a few. And so we decided over these last couple of years to really be focusing more on a few particular things that we know they really, really want. We've also started getting gifts that are maybe subscriptions to things like Kiwi Crate and Tinker Crate and Koala Crate. Those kinds of things my kids love, and it spreads out the clutter, because that's a big thing for me, is I don't want a bunch of stuff that's just filler, just to make it look like there's more. And so by using those kinds of subscriptions, we've been able to let the Christmas love keep going all throughout the year. And it's been super helpful for Mama to be managing all of everybody's stuff. So that is one way we've kind of allowed thankfulness, I feel like, also to extend throughout the year and not just be on this one day. But cutting down the gifts has also allowed us to really talk about the heart of Christmas. And this year, I think the biggest shift we've had is something very simple, but we bought the book Jotham's Journey, which I've heard about for many years. People have just raved about. And so we finally got it, and it arrived just before Advent started. And admittedly, we've gotten a little bit behind, but it's so good. My kids don't mind when we have to read a couple of chapters in one day. And it is a little intense, but even my three-year-old has listened to it, and she hasn't been overwhelmed by it. But you just have to measure your own kids and how they handle things. But oh my goodness, the way it wraps story into who we are supposed to be and how we are supposed to follow the Lord, and examples of how to have good character and how to not have good character. It has evoked so many great questions, especially from my 9.5-year-old. The boy in the book is 10 years old, and it has been so interesting to see how invested he has become with Jotham of Jericho. He relates to him, and I can tell it that he does. I can tell his little wheels are turning in his head as he is listening to Jotham's story, and he's thinking of himself in that position. And the questions at the end of every chapter are so good. And it's not questions like you would think of like a textbook. It's more woven into the story and of how God wants us to be, and the truths that this story reveals. I wish there was an entire line of children's Bible studies that were for all throughout the year from this author, because it is so, so good. And so that is something that's been very simple, but very deep for our family. And I feel like has really allowed us to focus on Christ throughout this season. The other thing that kind of ties back to the traditions again is I feel like as a family, we're really trying to focus more on relationship this year. As I was looking at all the traditions that we, you know, wanted to incorporate this year, there were a few certain things that I think sometimes, and I know have happened in years past, it just feels like too overwhelming to try to make it happen, like cookie decorating with the whole extended family. Sometimes it's hard and there's so much work involved in it and trying to pull everybody together. But when we really thought about it, it's about more than just the cookies. It's about us coming together as a family and it creating these shared memories that then help develop a firm family culture. And that is what our kids are going to remember as they go on out into the world. And they're going to have these shared memories together that make them Monroes and make them want to come back home when they're grown and gone. And so by focusing on having these relationships and doing these things together, another one was doing Christmas candy making with my grandma. It's something I always did when I was little. And now I have 4 children and it can be hard to make it into town to her house and loading everybody up and trying to do all the cooking with the kids around. But I decided, you know what? I really want my kids to have these memories with my grandma. And I don't know how much longer she'll be around, but what a special thing that they get to make Christmas candy with their great grandmother every year. And I really want to cherish that and make it a priority where I may feel like, I'm having everyone over to my house for both Christmas Eve and Christmas, and there's so much to do, and I can't take out a whole day to go and make candy with my grandmother. I realize that that's what matters. That's what really matters. And if everything isn't perfect on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, then at least I've spent the time and put in the relationships that matter. And I'm creating memories for my kids and for myself too. Those are things that I want to cherish when I look back. So I'm actually really looking forward to these things that in the past maybe felt a little burdensome or like I just didn't have the time for them, but now they feel more soul nourishing because I'm realizing what they really mean to us. And it's the time spent with family and friends that is making a big difference for us. So, like I said, I am hosting Christmas Eve and Christmas Day this year. And somebody asked, what do my Christmas Eve and Christmas Day look like? So I'm going to give you just a really quick rundown on kind of what we do with our family. My family, my side of the family, comes over every Christmas Eve to our house out on our little farm, and we have the evening together. We sometimes will play games, we eat good food, and we just sometimes will read the Christmas story. We just spend the time together, and then we open presents together as a family. Everybody goes around and opens the presents one at a time so everybody can see what everybody else got, and it's just a really nice, very simple family. When I grew up, my family did hamburgers for Christmas Eve. It was never some big extravagant meal, so it was always more about getting to open the gifts together and being together as a family than it was about having the meal. So we still kind of embrace that on my side of the family and just keep it very simple. And that's just the way it's always been. So they probably leave by 9 or 9:30 on Christmas Eve night, and then we get all the kids ready for bed, and then my husband and I turn the couch around in our living room so that it faces the tree, because our tree sits in our front windows behind the couch. So we get that all turned around, and that's when we bring out all the kids' presents that we have wrapped and have been stashing away and hiding places. So when they come down Christmas morning, they find all the presents under the tree. And I usually also pre-make some cinnamon rolls that are ready to just pop in the oven on Christmas morning. So that's all ready to go, and we have our yummy Christmas breakfast that I don't have to try to make on Christmas morning. And so they all come down and we film that and we have fun and we do our Christmas morning thing together as just our little nuclear family. And then usually we go to my in-laws' house for Christmas Day. But this year, everyone from my husband's side of the family is actually coming to our house because my in-laws are going to be leaving the day after Christmas. And so it was just a lot for them to take on this year. So we've decided to have everybody to our house. And that is the day that we have more of the traditional meal. And we're going to be doing ham this year. Sometimes we've done prime rib or other meals, but it's just really nice to kind of have a meal that feels a little bit different with the family and feels a little bit more special. Now, my mother-in-law does a beautiful job of doing the Christmas meal at her house. She has charger plates and a centerpiece and cloth napkins and china and all these beautiful things that I don't own. But that's okay. I have talked to her and I've grappled with my Martha Stewart insecurities this year, and we are just going to let it be what it is. Now, I'm not going to be serving everyone on paper plates like I might be with my side of the family that's more laid back on Christmas Eve, but I actually really cherish it being more special on Christmas Day. I like us using the real silverware and plates and having it feel special and different. And so my mother-in-law is actually going to come over on Wednesday, right before, so the eve of Christmas Eve this year, and she is going to help me pull everything together. And I'm so appreciative of her. We have a great relationship. I really love her, and I'm really excited to be able to do a lot of the cooking together and kind of pulling the house together so that it does feel special for Christmas Day. So that is what our holidays are looking like this year. So now I want to move on and just do a short little segment about New Year's, because New Year's happens to be my favorite holiday, probably hands down my favorite. My husband and I were actually married on New Year's Eve, so everybody celebrates our anniversary every year, and there's always fireworks. It's pretty fantastic, although as you have children, it is harder to celebrate on your anniversary because you find nobody wants to watch your kids on New Year's Eve, but occasionally the grandparents too, and that works out nicely. But I love New Year's. It is just so fun to have this fresh new start to the year and be thinking about what you want to accomplish in the next year or your word for the year or how you want the year to look. I just think it's this blank slate before you, and there's just something so special and freeing and exciting about it to me. I just love January 1st. There's just something about it. So Beth Ann Schwamberger from Brilliant Business Moms, if you haven't heard of their podcast, you have got to go check it out. Her and her sister Sarah do a wonderful podcast. But she asked me the question if I'm a resolutions girl and if they stick or if they kind of fall apart. So I am a resolutions girl. For a long time, I didn't like the word resolution because so many people fail with resolutions, including me. But I kind of decided a couple of years ago that the word resolution is actually very powerful. And if you come down to the heart of it, it's the word resolve. When you resolve to do something, that means like you're really committing to it. And I want to put the word resolution to the goals that I'm setting for the new year because it means I'm purposing in my heart to be doing these things that I'm hoping for. I do have a little bit different perspective on it this year. I have a friend who I've been talking with lately, and she has been giving me such wise advice about how we look at our homeschool day and restructuring our life. And she said, you know, stop fighting against who you are. God made you who you are. And that doesn't mean that you don't want to improve or really own what you're doing, but you are you and you were made a certain way for a reason. God is a very personal God and he has very personal ideas of how he wants you to live. And so if you're a night owl, don't try to not be a night owl, but maybe make better use of your night owlness. So don't try to go to bed at 9 o'clock and wake up at 4 a.m. if you've always been a night owl all your life. You can refine things and work within your natural bents to make the best use of your time and be able to make your goals really work for you instead of fighting against you. I think so much of the time we create these goals that are so lofty and outlandish and we want to be like somebody else or do something that we've just never been able to do before, and it may just be because that's not who we are. And so as I am looking forward to my goals for this next year, I'm really trying to be smarter about them and really trying to make them work within our normal family structure, who we already are, and then making those things better. So as I'm looking at kind of restructuring our homeschool day and how I do my mornings and all those kinds of things, I'm putting them through that lens of what are we doing already and how can we make that work better and just tweak that instead of just trying to go completely off in left field. So while I have failed on goals in the past, I am hoping that this year's will be a little bit more realistic because they will be through that framework instead of just being completely crazy. But I also like to spread my goals out throughout the whole year. And this can be kind of difficult because you really don't know what your whole year is going to look like. But having some sort of framework of an idea of what I want to generally be learning about or accomplishing. And one of my big goals for this next year is doing a lot of reading and really filling my soul and my mind and making sure I am being poured into in that way. This last year we read Own Your Life by Sally Clarkson with the Cultivating the Lovely morning show. And it was so powerful and is such a good reminder that we really need to be filling ourselves up so that we have something to pour out. And I love what Sally Clarkson says about being the most interesting person that her kids know. And she does that largely by being well-read. And it was also encouraging to me when I heard her say, or I read something about that she wasn't the most well-read person before she had kids. And I'm not either. And so having that freedom to say, okay, I'm not, but it's not too late to start. I want to really read some classics and some great nonfiction coming into this next year, and maybe even some contemporary fiction, and just kind of be well-rounded and fill my soul in that way. I also am really looking forward to Sally's brand new book called The Life-Giving Home. You guys, this book is so good. And I am delighted to announce that Sally will be on the podcast next season, right when her book is coming out in February. But you can actually go to Amazon right now and pre-order The Life-Giving Home, as well as the companion book that's kind of a guide to walk you through the whole year and help you tackle some of these things to make your home more life-giving. She talks about rhythms and routines and all kinds of wonderful things in this book. So go pre-order it. It would be a fantastic gift to give somebody to say, hey, you may not be getting it right now, but what fun to have something be delivered in February when you might not really be thinking about getting many gifts. And you can have somebody get it for you. It's a brilliant book, and I'm really, really excited to be talking with both Sally and her daughter Sarah on the podcast. So you can be looking forward to that next season. But I like this book because it does walk all through the year. So in years past, when I have tried to put different goals on certain months of the year, this book has kind of done it for me coming into 2016. So I'm really looking forward to going through that all throughout the year of 2016 and helping my home become more life-giving, because along with reading and kind of restructuring our routines to work for us, that is my other hope, to really be focusing on being a good homemaker. And from the standpoint of my attitude and the atmosphere I'm creating, all of that, I really want to spend 2016 pouring into that for my family and making our home a place of refuge and inspiration and just a really safe place for my kids to be learning and loving and growing in the Lord. So that is kind of what I am looking forward to in the new year, as far as my personal goals. Now, we also have lots of really big, fun, wonderful goals for the Cultivating the Lovely podcast and morning show and ministry in general. There are all sorts of fun things coming. I'm just going to give you a little sneak peek. Coming up right in the beginning of January, we are going to have a bunch of giveaways that are really fun to be starting out your year with, especially because Christmas is over and it's kind of, you know, the letdown of all of that craziness, but we get to have a few fun giveaways right in the beginning of the year, so you can be watching for those. We are also going to be coming out with some really fun planner printables that will really hopefully help all of us to cultivate more loveliness in our life. So you can be watching for those in just the next couple of weeks. We've got new Bible studies coming out, and they will be formatted to fit in different kinds of planners, and we'll have them so you can use them even if you are not a planner girl, but we really know that a lot of you are, and so we wanted to make them functional. And with our Bible studies, the whole idea behind them is to be savoring and establishing the word throughout our days. And we thought, well, what better way to do that than to put them in a planner that you're using all throughout the day to have your Bible study right there with you. So those are some of the things we're really excited about developing for the ministry and all of you guys. I am so excited to be sharing them with you and showing you more of what is to come. But for now, I think I am going to go ahead and wrap things up. This is the last show for our inaugural season of the podcast, and we will be back in January with some really, really fun and inspiring ladies that I just can't wait to either let you hear or introduce you to for the very first time, because it's a really fun lineup so far. So thank you again to all of you who have been supporting this ministry and the podcast. I am so, so grateful to all of you who've been leaving reviews and sending emails and just in general supporting me and my whole team that is now developed. We just so appreciate you guys. And I really couldn't be doing this and wouldn't be doing it without all of you. So thank you to all of you who've been leaving those reviews and ratings in iTunes. You can continue to be doing that if you haven't already. That helps other people hear about the podcast in iTunes. If you're looking for how to do that, you can go to catch.me/boldturquoise. And a couple of weeks ago, I did a Periscope all about how to leave a review and rating in iTunes. So that should help walk you through it if you have some questions about that. Also, if you would like to find me across social media, you can find me pretty much everywhere at Bold Turquoise. I love hearing from you guys and seeing what you're doing. If you use the hashtag Bold Turquoise or hashtag Cultivating the Lovely or hashtag CTL Podcast, I can really easily find what you guys are having to say about the show, and that also helps share with other people who might not have heard about the show yet. So thank you all so much again. I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful, and Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. I will still be doing the Periscope Morning Show, so you can find me there all throughout this holiday season. But as far as the podcast goes, I will see you back in January. And until then, go be bold and gracious.